How do we know he's the Son of God?
It says it right there. What does it say?
By his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I like his full name, don't you? The Lord Jesus Christ. I was out in California with one of these Jesus-only people. You ever met some of them? It sort of went wild out there for a while. You know, Jesus only. None of this Lord Jesus Christ. No, just Jesus. Baptized in Jesus only. In fact, this one young lady says, you got to get high on Jesus. I said, if you're going to get high, that's a good place to get high. Get high. But I like his full name, don't you? Can you see it up here? Look at it. He's Lord. He is God. Fully God. Who came to this dusty planet Earth to become Yeshua, meaning Savior in Hebrew. Lord Jesus. He died for me. He died in your place. But he didn't stay in the grave. It's right there in the passage. He rose from the dead. He conquered death. And he is the Christ, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Did you get that? Lord Jesus Christ. That's the gospel. In essence, that's it. Put it all together. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Fully God. Fully man. That's the good news we have. So, we as a witness proclaim that to the word. To whom? We proclaim the word to the world. Here's the waiting world. It's right there in verses 5 through 7. Let me read it. Through him and for his name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship. That's that sent one again. I'll pause for a second. Remember what Christ said? As the Father sent me, what's the rest of it? So send I you to labor unrewarded, unfulfilled, unloved. That's sort of a sad sack song. But it's a true passage from the Scripture, the first part of it. As the Father sent me, said Christ, so send I you. So he says it here. We have received grace and apostleship to call people from among all the Gentiles, all the nations, all the peoples, to the obedience that comes from faith. Now watch this, verse 6. And you also, people of Rome. And I think if Paul were standing here right now, and you also, every one of you, are among those who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. Now I put this first point in my outline here as respond to our call. Look at how many times called is right here. The first verse he said, called to be an apostle. And here in verse 5 he says, to call people from among the Gentiles. Verse 6, called to belong to Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, set apart. And then he gives the benediction he always gives in every single letter, grace. That's the Greek greeting, kaire. And peace, you know the Hebrew greeting, shalom. All together, shalom. Let me hear it again. Shalom. Now you have to say it with a low voice. Ah, that's good. That sounds good. That sounds just like Israel. Libby and I just got back from Israel, and it was fun. They use that. Everybody greets each other. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Sounds good, doesn't it? With a deep voice, it sounds better, though. Better if I had a beard, black beard, then I'd fit in right well. Shalom. All together? Yes, grace and peace to you from God our Father. And here it is, again, the full name, Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see in that introduction? Everything's there. All of the elements of missions are right there. You have a witness taking the word to the world. That's it. That's missions. Somebody you, somebody me, somebody has to send that somebody you, somebody me to reach the somebody you, somebody me out there who needs to know the Lord. In fact, we're talking about people groups, and that's in the missions. Boy, if you're in the missions, you've heard people groups. I finally concluded, wait a minute, there are only two people groups in this world. Those that know the Lord, and those that don't. And we who know the Lord are the witnesses to those who don't. And that's where it is. Paul knew it. He recognized it. So here we fit in the first portion of this book of Romans. Fasten your seatbelts. Here we go. she's going for cookies. Don't get worried. No, she's not mad. To put them out, not to eat them, preferably. Put them out. I love you people. You're wonderful. I tell you, you are wonderful. Okay. Respond to our call. Now watch this. We need the church. We need to relate to the whole community. We don't do this as lone rangers. Never. Paul knew that too. We need the whole body. And again, I thank you for being here tonight. I can't believe you're all here tonight. Very touching to me. Come out on a Saturday night after all the busy schedule, and here you are because you care. So I'm talking to a select audience right here. I thank God for every one of you. Watch, we do this in a community, and listen to what he says, first of all. He says, first, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Texan to be y'all. The old King James had it right. Good Texan, you all. Y'all. By the way, that's another language too, I hope you realize. This actually happened. A Dallas Seminary student came down here from Michigan. Never heard Texan in his life. He went to a restaurant, had a good meal, paid the fare, and as he's walking out, the lady says, y'all come back here. So he turned around and went back. Say, didn't I pay the right amount? Oh no, we just say that. He thought she meant H-E-R-E, not H-E-A-R. Y'all come back here. Oh, I tell you. Well, y'all, that's talking about all of us here. I thank God for you because your faith is being reported all over the world. And I said that as I started tonight. Look at these flags. Places like Turkey and Mexico and Papua New Guinea. And I hope you know all these people that are out there and all these displays. This is absolutely beautiful. Representatives scattered out there doing the work of God. I thank God for y'all. I thank God for you. So he starts with that praise, and I want to add my word of praise. And again to you, Lyle, I just appreciate you so much. And Debbie, for all you're doing. I can't believe that Jim and Lori are going to have me in again tonight. Stay with them. You guys are so kind, I can't believe it. But here we are. I thank God for you, and I express that praise to all of you. Praise before the Lord for His glory. But then we need to engage in prayer. It's the next item. Look at what he says. God, whom I serve with my whole heart in preaching the gospel of His Son, is my witness how constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. And I pray that now at last, by God's will, the way may be open for me to come to you. I'm grateful that God has opened that door for me to be here. This is what I would say. And I do pray for you. I just thank God for you and the outreach that you have around the world. Engage in prayer. That's the greatest thing you can do. And I don't just say that. I've been out there. And if you've been out there, you know it means so much to know somebody cares enough to lift your need up in prayer. You don't have to move an inch from where you are to make a difference around the world. So keep praying. Whatever you do, keep praying. So he praises them, he engages in prayer, and then enters into this partnership. Verse 11, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. That is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. I came down here thinking, you know, this verse fits for me. That I could come down here and impart something. I prepare for these things. And sent down this little outline and all this stuff and PowerPoint. Is that thing working? Oh, man. Who's running that thing anyway? Lori, you're wonderful. Oh, she does it all. Amen. She does it all. But I would like to impart something, but it's really you and I might be mutually encouraged. You have a ministry, more than you ever realize. Just being here, a ministry to me. And if my wifey could just be here, she would say the same thing. There is a mutual ministry. That's the partnership. And then he goes on. Verse 13, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers. I plan many times to come to you, but have been prevented from doing so until now. In order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have had among the other Gentiles. This is a mutual ministry. It's a community. That's what the church is. Let me stop for a second there. I think you're aware of this. In English, we use the word church. That came from the word kirk, meaning the building. That is very unfortunate. And that's usually what we think of when we think church. Building. That's not the church. In Spanish, we use the correct term straight from the Greek. Iglesia. Ekklesia. Kaleo is the Greek word called out. Ek, from. Called out people. This is the church. You are the church. And it's you that make the difference. It's people. Stick them and they bleed. People. Just like us. Isn't that amazing that God wants to use us in this process? So he recognizes this mutual ministry. Now we come to the third point. Respond to our call. That's my first plea. Number two, we relate to the whole community. Those that are here, those that are out there. It takes all of us. Now, renew our commitment. This is the most important point of this little section of Scripture to me. We come to the three I ams of Paul. I am, I am, I am. And look at these. I would like to identify Paul with this commitment. Number one, I am. First, verse 14. I am obligated. I'm a debtor. Both to Greeks and non-Greeks. To the wise and the foolish. Now wait a minute. A debtor to those people? No. Christ died in my place. I'm a debtor to Christ. Well, maybe this will help. When I finally determined this is it, I had sort of checked it out, Libby said yes, she would marry me, and then I got the ring. Some of us guys are that way, you know, you got to be sure about this. At any rate, I knew she would say yes in a way, but I got the deal all worked out. You know how this is. Guys, if you've done it, you invest everything you have for that ring, and then you have that opportune moment. You know, I remember I took her to Olentangy Inn for dinner. And then afterwards, at the opportune moment, on my knees, I pulled out that little box and said, "Will you marry me?" And I remember pulling out, opening up, I thought, that thing looked so big when I bought it. But I gave it to her. Now what if she had said, "Oh no, that's too much. Here's 50 cents to help pay for it." No way. I didn't want her money. I wanted her heart, her life. And I think it's the same way with the Lord Jesus Christ to us. We cannot repay what he has done. Our debt is to other people who don't yet know him. That's what Paul recognized. I'm a debtor. I owe this to people all around me. I'm under obligation, so I have a debt to pay. Number two, I have a desire to preach, and I love this verse 15. That is why I am so eager. I love eager beavers. I do. I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. A desire to preach. Not what I'm doing tonight. Get people lined up in neat little rows. Look in the backs of people's necks. While this guy stands up here and on he goes. And you're thinking cookies the whole time. No, this isn't what he means by preach. It's proclaiming is the word here. To chatter the good news. We just let it rip. Every place we are, we want people to know him. So we just go ahead and chat. Could I give you another suggestion? Practical suggestion. You don't have to learn any verses from the Bible. You don't have to learn any procedure, the four spiritual laws. It's good to know all those things, but let me make a suggestion. Just tell people what God has done for you. And nobody can deny that. And you can say this to people. Look, I don't know what God's going to do for you, but let me tell you what he has done for me and tell them how you came to Christ and your life has been changed and all the blessings you have. That is a powerful witness. Use that. And frankly, when you talk to people, I think it's good to know where they are. In a church setting like this, I expect most people to know the Lord. Who else would come out on a Saturday night like this? But there may be somebody here, but I remember down in Houston. Fascinating. come into the Sunday school class. The guy had his visitor's badge, so I knew he was sort of new. I said, here's the way I do it. I said, tell me how you came to know the Lord. He hesitated. So I said, or are you somewhere along the way? Use that. Are you somewhere along the way? He said, well, I guess I'm somewhere along the way. Oh, that's like saying sickle to me. Oh, man. I explained the gospel. Explained the simple plan of salvation. And like ripe fruit, he was just ready right there. He put his trust in Christ before the Sunday school class even began. Use simple tools like that just to find out where people are. Tell me how you came to know the Lord. Or are you somewhere along the way? Give them an option. Open the door. So, we need to chatter that good news. Let's let it rip. I have a debt to pay. I have a desire to preach. And number three, I have a duty to perform. Look at this next verse, verse 16. The third I am obligated. I am eager. Third, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. You know, in Spanish we have a word, gente. G-E-N-T-E. What does that mean, James? People. The rest of the people. That's, it's no complicated deal here. If you're not a Jew, guess what you are? You're a Gentile. That's the rest of the people. Paul's a Jew. Saul became Paul, Jew. And he said, first for my people, and then for all of the rest of the people. Jew and Gentile. The whole world. That's the theme of this conference, a waiting world. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God, first for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are we? See, it makes all the difference in the world. We know that. Let me conclude because we're going to have a break and then we'll come back and we decided to use this second session. Just open it up for all kinds of questions, comments, anything you want to do. We'll just leave it wide open. I think that'll be a very profitable time. And we won't go too late because you've been through a long day and I have too. But we'll have a good time, have a little break here and come back. But let me tell you, you know this. It makes all the difference in the world to know the Lord. That's what we want people to know about. See, my wife and I and our family went down to El Salvador at the height of a guerrilla offensive. Guerrero is terrorist in our language today. They were killing people all over the place. In fact, in the first week we were there, it happened. A guy from our country, the United States, assigned to the embassy of El Salvador, trained in naval intelligence, made two mistakes. He was a single guy. And he met a very nice Salvadoran gal. And he'd come by to pick her up for dates at the university campus where she worked. He frequented the same spot. Mistake number one. He had a bulletproof Bronco, but the air conditioning went on of the thing. So he did what any of us would do in hot El Salvador. He got the windows open to get some air. That's all he needed to do. I talked to students in the church where I was interim pastor that summer in San Salvador who saw it happen. A van pulled up. Well-dressed young man stepped out with a pistol in his hand. Walked over to that Bronco, fired three shots in Schaffelberger's head. His body slumped over the wheel. The car was running and smashed into the car in front of it. The young man said, everybody be calm. Reached in, turned off the ignition, got back in his van and drove off. That opened doors, though, I'll tell you that, for us. I came back to the church and I started complaining. I said, man, now that news is spread all over and it hit all the newspapers. I said, that's all we ever get in my country is the negative news. We never get any positive news, and I'm complaining. They said, you know, we have a deacon who works in the presidential palace in communications. Would you like to talk to him? I said, I sure would. I got on the phone, I'm talking to him, continuing my complaint. He said, why don't you come down? got through security into his office, continue my complaint. Young men were around there. They said, why don't we put this guy on television? Next thing I know, I'm moving in the next room, and they've got the lights coming on, and this guy's asking me questions. He said, among his questions, he said, what would you suggest for peace here in our country? Don't you love setups like that? Oh, man, sick of that. That's it. Oh, man, I talked about the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And they aired that 3 times on television. They even put it on radio in the soundtrack. And the very next week, I'm talking to these 2 guys out in the funeral in the cemetery. And one of them said, did I see you on television? I said, was it an interview? He said, yes. I said, that was probably me. He said, look, I'm superintendent of a school here in San Salvador. Would you be willing to come and talk to our students about that peace you talked about in the Lord Jesus Christ? I said, I sure, certainly would. Love to. I had no idea. Largest high school in San Salvador. 3,000 students. He had an assembly. And I'm on the platform relating the gospel. And as I was doing it, I was thinking, I couldn't do this in my own country. More liberty there than we have here. Open doors. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God to the Jew first and all the rest of the people. Got a waiting world. I want to be a willing church. God, I thank you for this time together, and I pray now that our break would be profitable as well. And then as we come back together, I pray that you would guide us, lead us, help us to glean all we can from our encounter together. Thank you for this passage. We thank you for what you're going to do through this conference for all eternity. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you so much. Lyle, what do we do? We're dismissed. Okay, good. Thank you for your attention. You're a great bunch.